Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 201 of the Classic Gaming Podcast. I'm Robert. With me is Jay.
Woo woo. 201.
Hey, welcome.
Was a freaking marathon.
Hello, 2024.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I guess. I don't know. I'm still, my whole brain's still kind of messed up from however many episodes it took us to get through our top 200 list or 130 something list.
We'll never be the same.
No, I don't think so. It was worth it.
But I wish it didn't put us 4 months behind on the podcast.
Yep.
But it was very fun. It was a lot of work, and it put us behind talking about like our normal stuff.
Yep.
We will talk about New Year's resolutions later, but I think that comes with a caveat that you've decided that you're just not. You just said no.
Yeah. I mean, Robert, you know, obviously Robert and I for a number of years now have put together like New Year's resolutions, and then at the end of the year we check them to see how we did. And just thinking back on it, most of the time I come up with the stuff that I've put together for it, I usually don't achieve it, and I kind of go with the wind in a way where when I'm playing classic games a lot of times, really have like 3 months from now I'm going to start playing this, or 6 months now I'm going to play this. It's just kind of like I get an itch, or I watch a video, or I think of like some game that I never got to finish or play or try or beat, or maybe I've beaten it many times, and I'm like, that sounds fun, I'm just going to do that, and then I just start doing it, and then if I stick with it, I do. If I don't, I kind of fall off. And it's hard for me, like, especially when we're, you know, some of the stuff that I put together in the past was like, you know, I want to play more of this style of game, or I want to finish this series. And I thought about it throughout the year. I didn't forget. But every time I would think about it, my brain would just be like, let's go do this instead. And I'm like, that sounds fun. Let's do that. Yeah. And then I would just do that thing. And so it just, I don't know. I just feel like if I put them together, there's a high chance I'm not going to complete them. So
yeah.
That's just being honest with myself.
I think that's good. And also if you're not like, there's no sense in forcing yourself to play a game that you don't want to just because you said you would.
Yeah. Yeah. That's more of a mini guy. And as I'm getting older, that's kind of how I do things. Like, you know, there are certain things you have to do in life that you don't want to do, but this is one of those times where it's like, I'm kind of the decider. So why make that happen? I don't know.
You're your own boss now.
I wouldn't say I'm that far. I'm still trapped in corporate America, but sorry, I'm going to let Diego out.
Well, I'm still going to do my list. For me, it does help me, like, if there's a game that I've kind of, like, well, for example, if there's a game that I've been putting off for a while, it'll kind of encourage me to finally get to it, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm still going to do my list. I'll do that at the end of this episode.
Yeah, by all means.
What else do we have? We do have, do we have any,
Can I share some news? Do you want to get news?
Yeah, go ahead and share us some news.
It's not real news. I mean, it's J news. We'll call it that.
Did you get married again?
So I think I shared the podcast a while back that my brother and I backed a board game translation for Heroes of Might Magic 3. We did that at the end of last year. We just happened to come across it, and we looked at it, and it looked like a pretty solid adaptation of the video game to a board game. So we kickstarted it, or we backed it. And when we initially did it, they were like, okay, you're in batch 2. Like, you're probably going to get it, like, during the summer of 2024. We're like, okay, cool. Like, that's before we do an annual cabin trip. So we're like, okay, as long as we have it before the cabin trip, because that's probably where we'll spend a lot of time playing it. You know, like, whatever. 2 weeks ago, it just shows up. It just delivers. And, like, we were checking the tracking number one day, and we're like, oh, it's out for delivery. Out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
So we have put, like, a good 20 hours into playing it so far. Most of that time was learning how to play it. I would say, like, 12 hours was probably spent learning how to play it. Oh, and when I say 12 hours, it's not, like, sitting down for 12 hours. Yeah. When I say that, though, it's not, like, we sat down for 12 hours, read the rule book, and, you know, reread the rule book.
Oh, you mean like playing it and kind of getting the flow and seeing.
Exactly.
And learning
where we're making mistakes, right, and where we're cheating, and,
yep,
you know, things in that space. So we've played two ones where we were like, okay, we feel good about it. Like, we feel like we did everything correctly. And it's pretty solid. The funny part about it is there were specific rules we were struggling to figure out how to do them. So a lot of times we read through the rule books, and then if not, then you Google it, right? You Google it and say this rule, and then you read about it and yada, yada, yada. What ended up happening a lot of times is we were just like, fuck it. What did they do in the video game? Let's just do that. And we did that. And then later we would find the rule and be like, oh, that's exactly how we were supposed to do it. They did a great job of like, if you're ever wondering what you should do, just think about the video game. What do they do in the video game? Because that's probably what you need to do for the rules in the video game, in the board game.
Wow.
So in terms of the adaptation, it's solid. Like, you build a base, you upgrade your base, you have heroes on the map, you have armies with said heroes, you have it's a deck building game, so you have artifacts or relics like you do in the video game. Your character levels up and gets new abilities and things in that space. They also get somewhat of attributes as they level. It's kind of hard to explain. It's hard to explain without going super far in detail, but more or less you get further into your attributes. And the game's pretty solid. And they have like 7 or 8 different factions, or I think 6 or 7, 7 or whatever's in the game. There's only a couple factions that are missing from the board game, from the video game, which they are releasing as quote unquote DLC in the near future, which is pretty solid. And so the races are generally pretty unique. There's some cool aspects about it. The whole game feels pretty good. What's nice about it is like you can more or less go at the same time. So the game progresses pretty quickly. We're not just sitting there idle. The one downside of this game, which is, I'll be honest with you, kind of a bigger turnoff. Like, I would say like a mid-sized turnoff for me.
Okay.
The combat when you're PvEing is kind of meh. When you're PvPing, it's really good because you have this giant map just like you do in the game. There's obstacles. There's a lot to it. A lot of thinking. In the PvE stuff, it's kind of boring. Like, you have this, like, I want to say it's like a 4x2 grid area where you put your units. The opponent does it on the other side. There's an area between the two of you where you can, like, move up to attack your opponent. But the AI is really dumb. And they just kind of do really obvious things. And it's like, there's not really any strategy to it. Like, once you put your units down, there's not a lot of like agency that you have, which the combat, like the strategy involving in combat in the actual online version or the game version is pretty solid. So that part is like, it's a decent turnoff where it's like, it can get kind of boring because the fights just kind of, you just go through the motions and you know more or less what's going to happen. It's hard to mitigate losses because the quote AI has a set rule, and then your units have kind of set rules too. I don't want to go too far into the depth of the combat, but it's okay. I wish they would have spent more time with it because I think they could have come up with something better. So that piece was a little bit disappointing, but everything else is pretty cool. We're still exploring it. Like I said, we've spent about 20 hours playing it so far. We'll definitely spend more time with it this year. But all in all, they did a great job. The visuals are really cool. Oh, and by the way, because we backed it, they gave us miniatures for every fucking thing in the universe. Ooh, so we have like cool 80 miniatures that all need to be painted. And they're pretty solid. I'm not going to lie. The miniatures look pretty cool, especially if you've played the online game, all the different units in the game. You have miniatures for each one, which is pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. That piece is pretty cool. But the one downside of it is because combat is so kind of you don't get to see the miniatures that much in the way that you'd want to. So.
Oh, gotcha. So overall, so you said overall, it's very good. It is very good.
I would say it's good. The combat is a pretty decent turnoff for me. It really does kind of drag it down. It drags down, brings down the average. Okay. It's good. It's just the combat. I wish they would have spent some more time with it. I think, like, I am not the, like, I don't have some crazy grand genius idea that could fix it. But I'm like, I feel like they could have spent more time with it.
You're selling yourself short.
Thanks. I mean, I'm being kind of ridiculous, sarcastic, because there is so many games on the market today, or like video games are such a big industry right now, and especially for people to come up with their own, you know, games and such. There's so many different combat styles. There's so many creative ways to do combat that I've seen in the, you know, 30 or so board games I've played over the last 5 years that I'm like, come on, guys, like you could have done better. Like it just, that piece just makes me sad. So,
okay.
Yep. Hey, whenever I see you though, we'll eventually play it. So,
oh, we'll give it a shot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you for the update on that.
Yeah, of course.
There is one thing before we get to games. We have the Strong Museum World Video Game Hall of Fame.
What's my response going to be?
Already?
You want me to say it or you want to say it?
First episode of the year already.
Yeah.
They've announced their finalists, not the inductees for the year.
Ooh.
But the finalists.
These are always fun.
These are fun. So here we go. I believe, yeah, they have these in alphabetical order. There are 12 finalists, and I believe they pick 4. Asteroids. Not mad about that.
I'm amazed that's not already inducted, personally.
Yeah, maybe so. Elite. This is the kind of free, sort of like free roaming space trading game. Guitar Hero.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the second one? I think I cut out of my end.
Elite.
Elite. Oh, that's what you said. Okay. Yeah. I don't know this. Should I know this?
Not necessarily. It's a pretty well-known game, but it's not very famous. It's famous just for being so open and you just kind of like do what you want. However, the common complaint is that it's very limited in what you actually can do. It's like, go do whatever you want. Whatever you want is pick up stuff from this planet and trade it to whatever other planet you want to go trade it to. That's kind of all there is to it. In what I've seen, I've not played. I think the only one I've played is Elite Dangerous, which is the newer one that they came out with, but that was about 10 years ago. And it was just a very fancy version of that exact same thing.
Okay.
I may be selling it short. Again, I haven't played any of the other ones. There may be two of them. There may be more to them, but that's my understanding is you're very free to do whatever you want, but there's very little to actually do.
Gotcha.
But that being said, I have been wanting to try this out. Just in the sense of free roaming space games, like first person 3D space games from this one came out in 1984. That's kind of a novel concept, even if the gameplay itself is a little limited. So I do want to check it out. And again, I want to emphasize that I could be wrong. There might be more to it that I just don't know. Next one is Guitar Hero. Next one is Metroid.
Wow, that makes sense as well. Okay, I'm happy with most of these.
Uh-huh. Myst?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Keep it going.
You're doing the Vince McMahon thing right now.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Neopets.
What?
I didn't...
Wasn't Neopets the... Oh, that was Tamagotchi.
It's a little toy. One. No, this is physical.
It's the same thing. Oh, it's so got it's Tamagotchi.
They've got a picture here. Here's the... hold on. I'll show it to you afterward. Here's just a picture of it. It is a physical thing, and I've heard the name, but I never knew it was an actual physical thing. I never actually knew what it was. For anybody like me, here's our description. When Neopets debuted in 1999, it quickly became a staple of browser-based free-to-play games.
What I'm hearing is this probably shouldn't be inducted.
Well, I don't know. They don't mention anything about the physical stuff, but for the picture, they have a picture of very physical, like a little, almost like a handheld looking thing with little pieces. I don't know what the hell this is in that case.
Pass.
Neopets, whatever that is. I know, like, you're probably like me. You've heard the name and you know it was a popular thing, but you don't know actually what it was. That's my tip. That's how I am with this. Next one is Resident Evil.
Makes sense.
SimCity.
Makes sense.
Tokimeki Memorial. This is a Japanese game. Konami's Tokimeki Memorial brought a cohesive narrative, colorful graphics, unparalleled depth of choices, and engaging gameplay to the dating simulator genre after its launch in 1990.
Robert, have you heard of this?
I've not.
I'd be surprised if you had.
While it was never localized outside Japan, its impact on game design was widespread, paving the way for graphic adventure games, visual novels, dating sims, and role-playing games to invest more in personal relationships as part of their game. So it's a visual novel game.
Okay.
Dating sim.
Never heard of it?
I have not either. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Ultima.
Ah, interesting.
And you don't know Jack.
I mean, yeah. That makes sense.
That's,
why is that funny?
You're like, oh, cool. Oh, yeah. And then last one. Oh, that makes sense.
I'm annoyed because I hate Jackbox because of work. Jackbox has become a staple in corporate America. Of like,
oh, no, really?
It's time to have fun. Let's play Jackbox games. And it's like, oh, kill me. Like, I don't want to.
That's funny.
Don't make me do it.
I actually have enjoyed, like, sometimes me and my family owns a few of them, and me and my wife and daughter play them and usually have a blast.
Nerds.
I can see that, but I mean, yes, I can see it being the corporate thing. Like you said,
yeah.
Time for fun. Let's do some team building.
You guys want to get off 30 minutes early? Play some Jackbox games.
That'd be great if you did that and then just like did the most inappropriate stuff imaginable.
Oh, God, no. God, no. Me? I am, like, the most appropriate person at work ever.
Yeah, no, you should change that is what I'm saying.
Uh-uh. I'm working through some stuff at work right now, and I asked a number of people in my work for, like, feedback about, like, you know, like, where do they think I can improve, and, like, what are my strengths and stuff, and this person wrote, like, yeah, like, I just feel like you're one of the most genuine people I work with, like, you're always so professional and appropriate and blah, blah, blah. I'm just, like, thinking, like, man, if you only knew, I am a fucking degenerate outside work.
Let me introduce you to a podcast.
Yeah. Do you know my weekends entail?
I guess we'll do our usual next episode. You want to bring our four inductees that we would choose from this list?
Yeah, it's a tough list.
It will be. I'm looking at it, and I've got one or two shoo-ins. I'd say two.
I got many shoo-ins. I feel like.
And then many very close shoe-ins. I think I might probably already know my complete list. Scrolling back through it real quick. But anyway, yeah, so we'll do that for next time. Here, here's our link. Here's the link to the whole thing.
Thank you.
Partly just so we don't forget.
Oh, we will.
Probably, or at least you will.
Whoa.
Okay.
All right.
Jay. Oh, one more thing before we get to games. We are doing Game of the Quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Next episode.
Which is 4 months from now.
It should have been last month, you know, if we had stuck to our typical schedule. So, but we didn't also want to do it first thing coming back and nobody know. So that'll be next episode, which for that we are playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. As usual. We're both playing the same game. If you, the listener, would like to also play and write in your thoughts on it, please do so. Mail at classicgamingpodcast.com. That'll be the next episode. Should be 3 weeks from now.
Should be.
Not 4 months.
We'll see. Depends if Robert comes up with another 200 list.
I got a great idea for episode 202.
202 top games. Non-RPGs. Robert, I don't know if I have 202 games that are not RPGs. Nonsense.
Jay, why don't you kick us off here and tell us about what game or games... do you have one or more than one?
Two. Right. One and a half.
Hit us up.
I am going to talk about Golden Sun today. Golden Sun 1 and Golden Sun 2. So
brought this up a couple times recently.
Talk about playing it.
You talked about it on, like, I can't remember if it was our last real episode or on episode 200, but I remember you telling me. I just remember it came up recently, and I was like, yeah, I do need to play that sometime.
I hope to God I didn't already talk about playing it, because...
No, I don't think you
did. Okay, I was going to say, holy shit, I said, okay. I was going to say, because I there's a few games that I've played, but I'm going to talk about Golden Sun 1 and 2. Yeah, the reason I ended up playing this is exactly what I was talking about when we were talking through the New Year's resolution stuff. I got the itch to play it because we were talking about it. And I was like, I haven't played Golden Sun in a minute. Let me give it a shot. And especially since I was kind of selling it to you, I was like, man, maybe I should just play through it again and just see how I feel about it again. So I played through the first one. I beat the first one. I started the second one, got about halfway through, and then stopped playing. And I'll talk about all that. So
okay.
Golden Sun is a Game Boy Advanced? Golden Sun?
Yeah, it's Game Boy Advanced.
Okay, thank you. Game that came out in Golden Sun release date. August 1st, 2001.
Okay.
And so Golden Sun, is a pretty solid JRPG. It's got some really, really great music to it. Golden Sun actually, I would say, is on the upper echelon of music in terms of JRPGs for me. I think the overall soundtrack for it is very good. It has a good variety to it, and they do a great job of setting the tone of whatever's happening in the story with music, and they do a really good job of it. And especially thinking about this is again for the Game Boy Advanced, it's really impressive how good the music is across the board. So this is a very traditional JRPG. You have your turn-based combat. You have a party of four people. Your party stays the same for the majority of the game. You don't have the ability to switch characters out. There's a very in-depth, lengthy story that spans over, I think, three games. I believe there is a third game, and I think the story actually goes into the third game, the main story of the main game or the main games. But the first two games cover one long story, with a break point from the first one to the second one.
The first two cover one story, and then the third is kind of its own.
I don't know. I haven't played the third one.
Okay.
It came out years later. I think it came out like almost a decade later. I don't know that I even knew about it until recently. When I was looking at playing Golden Sun again.
So is there a is that you maybe you're gonna get to this. You said there is a break point in between. Do you get any kind of resolution, or is it really just like you got to play the
You get
second
some
one?
resolution. Yeah,
Okay.
it's not a huge cliffhanger. It's a good ending. It's a pretty cool ending, I would say. Like, it's a good break point. And yeah, I'll kind of talk about it more
Okay.
when it gets to that point. So, very similar. Obviously, this is a very story-driven game. There is a initial event that happens that kind of kicks off the story. I'm not going to go into the details of the story because I imagine you're going to play this at some point, and I don't want to spoil too
Yeah,
much of
some
it.
point.
This game's the story overall is a little bit immature at times because you are playing as I don't know, some kind of teenager. You never know in these kind of games, I feel like at times. Like, I don't know if they explicitly say like I'm a 15-year-old boy at some point, but I imagine you're somewhere around 15 in these games, maybe late teens. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
So the game can be immature at times, obviously, because the story's not going to get super serious, but it's fun. There's a good sense of humor that runs through the game. The story itself is interesting. The world is interesting. This is a world that is all around alchemy, or how this world, or what this world considers to be alchemy. So alchemy in this world gives specific people the ability to use. I believe it's synergy is how it's supposed to be pronounced. It's spelled Psy Energy, PSY meaning. And this is like their magic, if you will. So if you have the ability to use synergy, then you can cast spells from healing spells to damaging spells to buffs and debuffs and all that fun stuff. There also are djinn in this game. The djinn are basically the summons in this world. So as you're progressing through the game, you can find these djinn. There's four different types of djinn. There's earth, water, fire, and air. And the different djinns give you different abilities. And so if you are not paying attention, or if you are not up to puzzle finding and solving, then you will miss out on djinns throughout this game. Puzzle finding, or excuse me, puzzle solving is a mainstay in this game. I would say it's like 20 to 25% of this game is really around
Wow, really?
Puzzles. Yeah, and some of them are very easy, especially now that I'm older. When I was younger, I struggled with them more. Mostly that was because I didn't understand how the character's magic abilities or synergy abilities interacted, or how the mechanics would work. And I'll talk about that in a
So are
second.
the puzzles fun or?
They can be. They become a little bit tedious, and once you figure out the mechanics of how this world works, they can become a little bit tedious. To say the least,
Because
especially as somebody who's played through them before, I know the answers to most of the puzzles. So I it's just going through the motions of getting them done.
every time I've ever encountered a puzzle in an RPG, I just want to get past it. I'm like, I'm not here for this.
Yeah, and obviously this is a well, I didn't say obviously. This is a random encounter style game too. So now I will say, for the most part, where you're doing puzzles, you don't have random encounters. However, that it's not always. There are sometimes when you're doing puzzles and you're going up and down through floors and you can get random encounters. And obviously that can be really frustrating and disruptive because you're trying to finish a puzzle and you can't because you keep getting in random encounters. So back to the djinn. So the djinn, you can find them all over the world. You don't have to find them all, but as you find them, it makes you stronger. And again, there's four different types. Each character is supposed to be aligned with a different element of the djinn. So like the main character is earth. And then his close friend is fire, and then two of the other characters you pick up, one is water slash frost, and the other one is air. So as you find these djinn, you can equip them to the characters. If you do so, they get a change in stats positively or negatively. So their strength, their HP could go up, their defense could go up, magic defense, all that fun stuff can go up or down depending on who you are giving which type to which character. So generally speaking, you usually just give those characters their specific djinn type, which makes them more powerful.
Okay.
Even more, the djinns can be used in combat. And so if you have a djinn available, you don't have to do anything to have it available, but the first time, like when you first get it, you have it available. You use it and it doesn't affect. So like it might just like damage the enemy or give you armor or heal you or revive somebody or debuff the enemy, something in that space. After you use the djinn, then you will get, I'm trying to think how to describe it. You basically will get like an elemental point for that specific djinn type. So like if you cast an earth djinn, then you get an earth djinn point. And you can unleash that by doing like a super summon. So basically you use the basic djinn, which gives you summoning points, then you use the summoning points to summon a bigger summon. And after you do that, then your djinn go on cooldown. They come back after a few turns, and then you can use them again. While the djinns are on cooldown, you don't get the stats that they provide to you, so you are technically weaker after you do your super summon. And the super summons are one of the coolest parts about this game, because when you use a djinn, you again get a point in that element. So you might say, like, I used one earth, so now I have one earth summoning point. Okay, well, now I cast a second djinn spell. Now I have two summoning earth djinn points. And you each additional point up to four that you have, when you unleash it, it does something more powerful. The spell, the effect gets more powerful. Even more, because this is the DRPG, they look cooler and they sound cooler and they are cooler. So a level one summon might just be something really minimal and it does some damage. The second one might be kind of cool and pretty good. And the third one's like, holy shit, that's cool. And then number four is like, oh my God. Like the stuff where like you zoom out of the earth and a dragon comes out of somewhere and just blasts like a satellite beam into the planet. The whole planet explodes, and then all the planets around it just fucking explode into pieces, and then it gets back to the battle screen. It does like 600 damage or something. It's like one of those like
Nice.
Final Fantasy things where it just gets so ridiculous, and then a number just pops up on the bad guy to let you know that they didn't die.
That's funny.
It's really cool. And I will say, like, the visuals are awesome for this. It's honestly pretty exciting. And some of them are a little lengthy, as it's a JRPG and it's summoning. You get the idea. But that
Right.
part is pretty solid. And so what the puzzles. So as you're playing through this game, again, about a quarter of it, you're going to spend your time doing these puzzles. When you're out of combat, you can use your synergy to do different things, like push or pull something, or pick something up, or freeze something, or there's just a lot of them. And so these different mechanics interact in the world. And as you think about it, like a lot of JRPGs, you'll see like a puddle on the ground. You're like, the fuck is that for? And then you go over to it and you're like, I can't interact with this. And then you like go to the next dungeon, you clear it, and you're like, you got the frost ring. Now you can cast frost. And you're like, that puddle. I can go back to that puddle and I can freeze that shit. And then you go back to the puddle and you freeze it, and it opens the door, and you're like, oh, cool, I get to go in here, and here's a secret, or maybe progresses the game. That's how this game is.
That
There's a
sounds kind
lot
of
of.
like that sounds kind of to me kind of Legend of Zelda-ish. Is that how
Yeah,
it
yeah. Like, like
feels?
almost, yeah, almost, I was thinking also some of the Mario RPGs, too. I feel like there are certain mechanics where you don't realize, like, you're going to get certain things that are going to enable you to interact with the world in a different way.
Okay.
So that's what this game is in a lot of cases. So the puzzle is like at a certain point, you're like, every time you see this type of block, you're like, I have to push that shit. I need to push that somewhere. And then you push it and you're like, oh, okay, it falls down this hole, opens the door, whatever it is. Sometimes if you look at it from a different angle, you can figure out that there's a secret there, and therefore you get something else. Maybe you'll find another djinn, maybe you'll find a really powerful item. I don't know. There's a bunch of different ones you can get throughout the game. You do get armor throughout the game, which is pretty cool. And again, if you spend the time to actually look around for secrets, you can get some pretty solid armor that you will wear for a long time. Like there are certain weapons in this game, or certain pieces of armor that you'll get. You'll be like, I'm probably not gonna upgrade that for the rest of the game. Which is, and you don't get them early, right? You're not getting like the first dungeon, you're not getting like a chest piece, you're never gonna upgrade. But like you if you are paying attention, you're like halfway through the game, you can find some pretty powerful items that you'll hold on to for quite a while. When your characters attack too with their physical attacks, which is pretty cool, there a lot of the weapons will have like an unleash mechanic, which basically means like it has a chance on hit to do something crazy. Like one of them was called like Merkwood or something, where it basically, like, when you swing, you have a chance to proc this thing, and it just does, like, bonus damage and has a cool visual element, and maybe it, like, you know, puts darkness or sleep or some sort of debuff on them. It's, from an overall, like, mechanic standpoint, it's not that exciting, but from, like, a visual standpoint, it's kind of cool.
Okay.
I did enjoy that piece of it. The combat overall is it's very fast, it's not fast-paced, it's turn-based, but, like, the visuals are very fast, at least I think that's the default. So you can actually, like, A your way through combat pretty fast in a lot of cases and make fights. Because, like, obviously when you're in a dungeon for a while, you get to a point where most of the battles, you're just kind of cycling your characters through them in order to get through them pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So this game makes that a little bit less painful at a certain point. Most of the boss battles aren't too bad in terms of, like, complexity or difficulty. Some of them can be. There's some mechanics to it. But for the most part, if you're strong enough, you probably will get through it. This game, and what I'm kind of alluding to, this game's not very hard. It's a softer. It's not too bad. I'm trying to think what it'd be comparable to in terms of difficulty. But it's not that difficult. For the most part, if you are doing the right things throughout the game and you're actually spending time to interact with the world, you'll probably be strong enough to beat most fights. Yeah, I don't think I really struggled on too many fights throughout the entire game. So, the breakpoint. So between the first and second one, there the story, as you're going through the story, you have an objective in the game. I don't want to go into detail because I don't want to spoil this for you. But there's a main objective you're doing in the game. And when you get to the end of the first game, that comes to a close. But what it does is it opens another door. And so what happens is you're doing this thing, you think you're doing the thing, then you get done with the thing, and you realize that that was not the whole thing. There's more things that are involved with that initial thing. Which then... yeah, I just don't want to go through the specifics of it, but, like, you get the idea. So what's really cool about it, though, is at the final scene, you come up on this elevator on the right side of the screen, and you go fight this boss, and then... you have some dialogue and the game ends. When you and at the same time, there's a left elevator with some characters on it that you've been interacting with throughout the world, and you're kind of talking to them. When the game closes, that's it for obviously the first one. When you start the second one, you are now playing the characters on the left side of the elevator, and you play from their perspective through the second game. It's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
It's a nice transition to the second game. Yeah, the second one is, I will say, like, it's very similar to the first one. Like, it is very, very similar. They did make some slight improvements, and the difficulty does feel a little bit better. It feels a little bit more difficult than it was the first one. But it has the same overall flavor, and the story continues, or expands, I should say. But yeah, the second one, I have nothing against it. I just got bored because I played through the first one so quickly, and then I started playing the second one. I was like, yeah, this is really good. Like, I'm really enjoying this. But at a certain point, I just kind of fell off. Like, it just, I don't know. It was too much of the same thing without anything dramatically new that kept my interest.
Okay.
So, these games are still good. I will say I have a little bit lower opinion of these games playing through at this time just because of how much of it I felt like I was going through the motions. And that might just be because I've played it so many times in the past, and that's how it's going to be at this point. But all in all, it's still an enjoyable game. It's relatively easy. This is definitely something you could, like, hey, I'm watching a TV series with my, you know, with somebody, and I just want to have my Switch up and just doing something with my hands. This is that kind of game you could generally have doing at the same time, if that makes sense.
Cool. So still a solid recommend.
Yeah, I would think so. I'd love to hear your opinion of it. But, yeah, pretty cool game.
All right, you want to, how about we go back and forth?
I'll take it for me.
Then you go back. Oh, you don't have another
one. Those are the two I'm going to talk about. Yeah, those are the two I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. Then I will go on to mine. The first one, so these have been a while since I played because you and I were talking about this before we started recording. I played a few games over Christmas, not realizing it was going to be so long until we had a chance to talk about them. And then I switched to putting as much time as I could into Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. So forgive me if my memory is a little bit fuzzy on some of these. The first one, I don't really have a whole lot to say about, at least especially as far as specifics go. You can't hear that plane flying by, can you?
No.
Okay, good, because I've got my window open, and there's a plane flying by. The first one, don't have a whole lot of specifics to say, but I do want to mention it. It is. I went back for my only my second playthrough of Metal Gear Solid 1. This is this is, of course, PS1 came out in 1998. Everybody knows I'm a big Metal Gear Solid fan. However, I've only played this one time, and this was actually I didn't play this one until I had already played 2, 3, and 4, and then I played this one for the podcast years ago. And that was the only other, that was the only time I had ever played it until now. But I went back and played it again, and it's still just a great game. It is exactly, it kind of fits the just exactly what I want in a game, tone wise, gameplay wise, story wise. It's like it is very serious, but it doesn't take itself seriously. There's lots of silly and dumb stuff that happens, which I just find very amusing. The gameplay is really fun. I like that it's a good mixture of action and non-action things, in particular the stealth aspects. So you can kind of get creative in how you want to get past any given room or whatever, but there are still plenty of action sequences. And if you just feel like in an action mood, you can just walk in shooting people and, I mean, if you're usually that's not a great idea, but it is an option. Usually what happens is you try sneaking through a room, and then if you get caught, then you just pull out your guns and start blowing people away until you can get to the next room. But this game is still, like I said, it's still just I still like it just as much as I did the first time I played it. Of course, it has legendarily famous bosses. Especially Psycho Mantis, and this one has got to be the most famous. Revolver Ocelot, of course, is on here.
What a name.
Coolest. What a name. One of the coolest bad guys in a video game, just period.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he's so cool. If you're unfamiliar with Revolver Ocelot, he's based on he's kind of based on Lee Van Cleef from the old what's the I can't think of the director's name who did the good, the bad, and the ugly and all that. Morricone? Hold on, now this is gonna bother me. Good, the bad, the ugly. Who was the director? This is really, I'm sorry. Morricone was he did the score. Sergio Leone or Leone. I don't know how you pronounce it, but anyway, those classic Westerns with, Clint Eastwood and of course, Lee Van Cleef. It's very obvious that Revolver Ocelot is very heavily influenced by Lee Van Cleef himself. Who else? Oh, of course there's the, Cyborg Ninja fight. Cyborg Ninja is really pretty awesome. But without a doubt, Psycho Mantis is the most famous boss fight from this one in particular. It's got a lot of dumb moments, like I said. My favorite one is still what's his name? Otacon running up to you in the middle of you like just going through your mission. He's like, I got to come talk to you about something that's really important. And he finally comes up and meets, and he can talk to you over the radio, but he's like, no, I have to ask you this in person. And he finally meets up with you and he goes, do you think love can bloom even on the battlefield?
A random.
Yeah. He's just like, what the hell? But there's one part that I had forgotten about. Which is actually kind of, it kind of creeped me out when it happened. So this is a very minor spoiler. It is a surprising event that happens, but it's not big story wise. It's just kind of one little thing. So skip ahead maybe a minute if you don't want to hear, but there's one part where you've got to get this elevator working and for some reason you can't get it working. It won't work. And then, you go back to it at some point and it's just randomly working.
Huh.
And so you get in the elevator and you're riding the elevator and Otacon calls you and he's like, something's going on. And you're like, what's wrong? He goes, there are these invisibility suits and, there's four of them and they're kept in this one specific storeroom. And I just went and checked, and they're all missing.
Oh, God.
And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, shit. And the guys are in the room with you is the thing. So that was kind of cool and like kind of frightening, honestly, at the same time. But I mean, I've talked about Metal Gear Solid a lot, and I've talked about this one in particular before, but they just, you know, everything that I've ever said about Metal Gear Solid is true for this game. It doesn't go as off the wall as it does in the subsequent games, but it still definitely has plenty of off the wall moments, but it just doesn't go as hard into that as it does in 2, 3, 4. Not so much 5, I guess, but especially 2, 3, and 4. So still an absolute great game.
Awesome. I'm glad.
My other two are a little bit smaller. First one, I'm going to go with Skate or Die for the NES.
Oh, wow. Skate or Die was on NES? Really?
Yeah. It was originally on Commodore 64, 1987, and then the next year they put it on the NES.
I'm surprised with like somewhat of an aggressive title like that. I'm surprised that was a thing in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that was a big 80s thing, like Skate or Die, you know, do this or... Like, it sounds, I don't know, that sounds very 80s to me.
Okay.
It like, kind of edgy, but not in an offensive way type thing. I don't know. But this was recommended to me by my friend Mike, who's on Cool But Rude with me.
Nice advertising.
One night I was just trying to find a game to, like, an old game to play. And I wanted a Nintendo game specifically. And I said, I just straight up was like, hey, what Nintendo game should I get? And just without hesitation, he goes, Skate or Die.
That's like, so funny.
All right, Skate or Die it is. I didn't love it. If you like high score games, it's okay. If you don't like high score games, it's just, it's not going to do it for you. Period. So don't even worry about it if that's not what you're looking for. If you are, it's still kind of questionable.
If it is what you're looking for, still might not be the game for you.
Might not be the game for you. So there are a few modes. So it starts off with the screen and you're kind of in a skate shop and basically you have different options for what event you want to do. There are, I think, let's see, there's Joust, there's Race, Jam, Joust, Freestyle, and High Jump. Those are the different events that you can do. What's really weird and makes the game makes the game difficult, I would say needlessly. In some cases, I can see why this is true, and in other cases, I don't understand why they did this. The controls are different for every single event. So Joust, for example, it's basically American Gladiator style jousting, but you're doing it while you're skating. You're going up and you're going back and forth. I think you're on a half pipe going back and forth. And then if you get close to each other, then you try to swing and knock the other person off. Of course, this is NES. So the hitboxes are pretty simplistic.
Amazing.
Yeah. There's not much you can do really there's not much nuance to it. It's basically whoever hits it first, once you're in the hitbox, then you get it, then that you knock that person down. There's Race, where you just try to get basically a best time on a track. It's got mild obstacles and a couple little shortcuts that you can take. The controls here are the most confusing on this one. So you're going from the top of the screen. Your guy is at the top of the screen, okay? And the track goes downward. It's really different from basically any other racing type thing I've ever played where you're on the bottom of the screen, you know, going towards the top. You're on the top, going towards the bottom. You hold down to go faster. You hold up to go slower. You can turn... But you turn very slow, like very, very slowly. But if you hold A, then you turn faster.
Okay.
I don't know why that's a thing, because there's never any reason to turn without holding A, because it's so slow.
Isn't that how Tony Hawk was too? Not specifically with the A button. I'm pretty sure that's how that was. You could like turn, or you could like press a button to turn sharper.
Maybe, but in that one, if so, it was probably, you know, I assume you would still turn reasonably if you weren't doing the sharp turn.
Yes. Yeah.
This one is not that. This one is reasonable or just straight up. Don't even try. There is, you hold A and down to duck. You hold A and up to jump. So why not just have A and B duck and jump? You know?
Yep.
Why not just always turn fast? So the controls are very strange on that one. But it's just, again, that one's just basically a time trial. There's Jam, where you're racing, but you're actually racing against another guy, and you can punch each other. You're kind of racing through an alley. This was the easiest one. And it's, the whole thing lasts probably 30 seconds. Freestyle was, I think, the most fun. You're just doing tricks in a half pipe. You're going back and forth, jumping on a half pipe and doing, you know, grabs and spins and that kind of stuff. Trying to, you know, get lots of spins without, you know, and still landing it and just facing the right way when you're coming back down, just not crashing, that kind of stuff. You mash A going through the half pipe. Then when you jump up, then you do your trick. And again, you have to like line it up when you come back down. Then finally there's High Jump, which is another half pipe game. But this is another situation. See, like, I can understand why the controls are different, for example, on Race versus Joust, or Race versus, you know, doing tricks in the half pipe, because it's two very different things. But even between Freestyle and High Jump, which are two different types of events on the half pipe, the controls are different on those. The High Jump controls are very weird. You're on a half pipe, like I said, and you just do circle. You're supposed to do circles on the D-pad as fast as you can, and mash B as fast as you can. You're just doing circles and mashing B as fast as you can. And then when you get to one side of the high jump, you jump higher or lower based on how fast you're doing circles and hitting B. That's it.
This, I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't sound great.
It's not. That's it. That's all there is. Those are all of the game modes. I didn't really find much redeemable about this. Like I said, the freestyle one was all right. Pretty limited, but it was probably the best. And the thing is, most of these events, you know, the racing one, it's not like you're doing a minute, maybe 1 minute. It's not like you're doing a 2-3-4 minute race. It's not like you have different tracks or anything. It's here's one little course and it takes 30 to 60 seconds to get through. And that's all there is to it. And the only replayability there is trying to beat your time.
Sure.
So this just didn't really do it for me in any department, unfortunately. So sorry, Mike, but I did not enjoy Skate or Die. Wow. The last game I played was Choo Choo Rocket for Dreamcast. This came out in 1999. It is it's a puzzle game. Basically, you have so you're on a grid, and there are all these little mice on a grid, okay? And they are trying to get to rockets that are also on the grid. And basically, you get a certain number of arrows, and you can place the arrows on. So the mice have certain rules as like regarding how they behave on the grid. They walk forward, and it's like if they hit a wall head on, then they always turn right, for example. And there are walls in various places on the grid. So what you're trying to do is lead the mice to the rockets that are on the grid. And then when they get to the rockets blast off, and then you go to the next level. Okay. You have a certain number of arrows that you can place down, and just like certain ones, like you might have one level where you get, you know, two up arrows and a right arrow. And as you might expect, when they hit one of those arrows and they go whatever direction the arrow is pointing. They're all they all start off in a specific spot facing a direction, so you know where they're going to go, and you're kind of looking at it at everything, looking at the whole grid and where the walls are, where the rockets are, and trying to figure out, okay, if I put it here, then they're going to turn here, hit this wall, turn right, do that. You're trying to figure out where they're going to go based on what you do and based on, you know, based on where you put an arrow and based on where the walls are. And you're just trying to lead them all to rockets. Most of the levels have, well, once you get like the first few levels, if I remember correctly, there's no chance of them getting killed by anything. It's just a matter of don't let them get stuck in a situation where they're not going to make it to the rocket. And if they don't, then you just restart the level and try again, putting the arrows in a different spot. Then later, some levels have these big giant cats. They're kind of like robot cats, sort of. And as you might expect, if a cat gets the mouse, then the mouse is dead. So you want to obviously avoid the cats, and the cats do move around. So that's really all there is to it. You are just trying to figure out how to get the mice safely to the rockets without getting eaten by a cat. And there are many mice, you know, there may be 10 mice on a level all following a path, or they might start in a couple different spots following a few different paths. It's very trial and error. There are some where yes, you could sit there and kind of follow it with your finger maybe on the screen or look at it and think about it and say, okay, the mice are going to go here, then what's going to happen next, and try to figure out it just in your head, map out where they're going to go. But sure. but it's usually very much, it's usually a lot easier just to hit start, watch them go, see where they're going to go, and then go from there. Like, cause when you lose, there's not really a consequence to losing. You just start the level over again. And it also is, it gets pretty difficult the way their level, the way the levels are laid out. It gets pretty difficult to be able to look at it and figure out exactly what's going to happen. So usually what I would do is just say, okay, it looks like maybe here's a good spot to try putting an arrow. Let's do this one and see what happens. So I put an arrow in a spot, hit play, watch them go, see what went wrong and where I might want to adjust where the arrows are and go from there. So it's like I said, it's very, there's a lot of trial and error more than, in fact, it felt more trial and error based than it really did puzzle solving based.
Interesting.
Because it's, I don't know. I felt more like I was just trying, okay, let's try this, then let's try this, then let's try this, rather than, ooh, let me sit here and think about this and figure it out. Because it is so easy just to try one thing and then try another thing. I don't know. The game was all right. It wasn't bad. I had fun with it for an hour or two. But it's probably not one that I would go back to. So if you're like really dying for a puzzle game, this will probably keep your attention for a little bit. But I didn't think it was great. I've heard that this game was supposed to be very, very good. To me, it didn't live up to that reputation, but it wasn't bad either. It was a nice little time waster for a couple hours.
Cool. I respect that. Some of those can be really fun.
Yeah.
For that time, I should say.
Yeah. So there we go. Metal Gear Solid 1, Choo Choo Rocket, and Skate or Die.
Snake!
Yeah, oh yeah, I got plenty of that.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of Metal Gear. Just asking questions by repeating what the previous person had just said. Yeah, great. Like, what? Still one of the greatest games ever. All right. Time for New Year's gaming resolutions.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right, done. No, I'm just teasing.
You know how we talked about, quick side note, you know how we've talked about this probably many times, I assume. You and I don't really do like real life New Year's resolutions.
No.
Because they're kind of, you and I don't really find them meaningful. Yeah. I did find something that I'm doing this year kind of instead. I would say, a New Year's resolution adjacent. It's kind of a similar idea, but it's a whole different thing. And this has actually turned out to be a pretty helpful thing for me. So it's not New Year's resolutions, but there's this Japanese kind of schedule, little schedule booklet that you can buy. That's that I learned about that a lot of people like. It's called the Hobonichi Techo. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but that's if you
somewhere Cameron Gilbert is really upset.
But it's something like, I mean, I think that's how you pronounce it. Hobonichi Techo. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's just a little schedule book. Where you write down, you know, what you're doing for the week, for the month, for the day, and all this kind of stuff. In the back, it has something called My 100. And it is, you just pick anything that you want to, like, do 100 of during the year. And it could be anything you want. It doesn't have to be I'm going to eat better, you know, like 100 times, or I'm going to work out. It can be, I want to watch 100 episodes of fucking Dragon Ball, you know, or it can be like, I want to read 100 comic books, play 100 video games. It can be whatever you want. I actually was like, that's kind of a neat idea. So what I did is, in order to kind of help myself do things like clean up my office, you know, and stuff that normally isn't very engaging. What I'm doing is I'm treating those as like miniature projects, and I'm going to see if I can do 100 miniature projects throughout the year.
Good for you.
And that's actually, well, don't say that, because that's the whole reason we hate New Year's resolutions in the first place, because you get the good for you before without like doing.
Well, it sounds like, I'm assuming we're 3.5 months into the year. Assuming you've done some.
I have. I've done 33.
Yeah, there you go.
So this has
This
has been a fun kind of thing to be like, so I can, it's, I don't know. It gives me a little bit more sense of accomplishment from doing stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, I get to write this one down in my dumb ass little list. But also what another way it helps is like, if I'm thinking of it as a project, even if it's just a small project, like I said, like clean the office, I don't know what that does, but it does something in my mind where I end up actually setting aside time. I'm like, all right, Friday, I'm going to set aside 45 minutes and get this thing done. Whereas typically I'm like, yeah, I need to clean the office. I'll get around to picking up something here and there. So anyway, just as a little side note, that's been kind of a new thing that I've discovered, and it's helped me get things done that I typically would have procrastinated on much more in the past. So just a little recommendation for people out there who might want to give that a shot. Anyway, I've got some gaming resolutions. We'll see what happens with them. First off, I went back and listened to the last episode, or the last episode, the last year's New Year's.
Okay, I was gonna say you listened to 20 hours worth of podcast.
I did, to make sure it was okay, but I listened to it on 1.5 speed. I had plenty of time to do so, since each one was you know, a month apart. Anyway, I went back and listened to our resolutions from last year to see how we did. Mine were to play more console variety. I forgot to actually go back and look at the list. I feel like I did that pretty good. I feel like I had a pretty good variety of...
I feel like you always do, but...
I normally do, but when I made this, that whole year leading up to this one, I had played 90% PS1 games. I'm just going to say... Yeah, it is. I think I did do that one. So we'll say yes, sure.
Oh, so you know somebody's going to write in and be like, actually, Robert.
My next one was to play Free Space 2 or Wing Commander Privateer. I started Wing Commander Privateer and actually got fairly decently far into it, but not quite far enough to where I felt like I could give it, you know, do it justice on the podcast. And then I fell off. So can't say I did that one. I do hope to go back and play some more of Wing Commander Privateer so that I can talk about it. But as of now, no, I did not do that one. My third one was to play Rayman 2. I did that. My second one, I actually got confused. I said that I wanted to play Tactics Ogre. I'm pretty sure that I actually got this confused with Ogre Battle March of the Black Queen, which I did play. Okay. So I did that one in spirit, not in the letter of the law, as they say. My number one was to play one of the LucasArts point and clicks that I have not yet played for the podcast. I did not do that one. Yours were to continue exploring more roguelikes. I don't know. I don't think you did that, did you?
Not for the podcast, I didn't. I definitely played more recent games that were
You said you did do this one. You said Final Fantasy VI and maybe five also. You definitely did those. You did play six, didn't you?
Yeah, I played 1 through 6.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Your third was Final Fantasy 12.
Nope, that didn't happen.
That didn't happen. Your number four was Gran Turismo 4.
Oh, I didn't do that. That's right. Damn, I'm actually sad I didn't do that.
Hey, now you've got one.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see about that.
Was that on PS2?
Yes, because the third one was on PS2. Yeah. So yeah, I think it was the third and fourth were on the PS2.
I know three was. I wasn't sure about four. And then your last one was something from the Xenosaga series.
Oh, yeah, that didn't happen.
Didn't happen. That's okay.
I do remember feeling motivated to play one of those games because, yeah, for a few different reasons. But, yeah, that didn't happen.
Jay, how do you feel that you've... Do you feel like you've let down our listeners?
No, because it's been every year like this. So. This is why I'm done resolving.
Okay, mine for this year. I got to say, Chase the Night Cleaner has... got me interested in Legend of Mana.
Yeah.
I really want to give that one a shot. So that's my first one, Legend of Mana. My next is Wizardry Proving Grounds of the Mad Overlord.
Jesus, what a title.
This is the first Wizardry game. Wizardry is one of those first person dungeon crawlers.
Ooh.
That's what that series is. I piqued your interest, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And Digital Eclipse just released their remaster. It's like a severe remaster of the game. Almost basically a remake. Like, but I think the gameplay is basically the exact same, if I understand correctly, but the graphics are, you know, entirely modern. Instead of, you know, like green screen graphics, like okay. Like when it originally came out in 80 whatever, but anyway, this one sounds like it's, I would really like to give this one a shot. So that's my next. My third is to play more car games.
Car, C-A-R?
C-A-R, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't played very many, and I've been playing, what am I trying to say? I've been playing Forza Horizon 5. Randomly, I just was like, I want to play a car game, and I played that, and I really got into it. I played a whole bunch of it over the, over Christmas. So I was playing it with some of my friends, too. We were, like, having a great time just kind of, like, free roaming and unlocking cars and doing races and this kind of stuff. And so that one got me wanting to play more car games. So there's that. My next is Star Control 2. So I've actually played this for the podcast, and it's supposed to be a great game. I remember not really liking it very much, but what I learned is that the 3DO version is supposed to be better than the PC version, which is what
Why?
I don't know. I'm not sure. They made some changes to it. It's kind of like an updated version. It's kind of like a director's cut version, if I understand correctly, of the game. They just made some improvements to it on 3DO, and it's supposed to make it a lot better. And something about it was kind of just the general concept of the game. Also, I was like, why didn't I like that the first time? So I'm gonna give it another shot and play the 3DO version and see how it goes. And then finally. I lost my list. Oh, here's, okay. You've been to, well, you haven't talked about it a lot, but every time this comes up, it always sounds interesting to me. And you're like, yeah, it's pretty neat. And I'm like, oh, I should check that out. And I never do. And I think it's probably been on my list longer than any other game right now. Like my I gotta play this list. That is Intelligent Cube.
Ah, okay.
So
again,
I swear you mentioned something about this the first or second year of the podcast, and I've been interested in it since then. I have just never gotten around to it.
Cool game.
So I'm finally going to give it a shot and
Yeah, but when are we going to play Guild Wars, though?
Guild Wars?
Yeah, when are we going to play Guild Wars 1?
Well, in 6 months, you can pick the next game of the quarter.
6 months?
Yep. Well, no, I guess it'll be 3 months, because we're about to do yours, then I'm going to pick one, and then 3 months later it'll be time for another one, yeah.
So yeah, I do not understand why the company makes Guild Wars does not, like, there's like 11 people that play this game today. Like, it's such a small game, and for some reason, it's still $40 to buy that game.
You can still, I didn't even know you could still buy it at all, period.
Guild Wars 1. There's still live service for it.
Oh, I guess.
Irritating.
I guess why wouldn't there be? I don't know why I thought that.
No, you are completely sane to say that, because a lot of MMOs take down their servers over time.
So it's still $40.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, man? Like,
well, so okay, stupid. Wait, hold on, though. That is all the expansions, though, it looks like.
So what? How many people play this game right now? Like, I'm no sorry, point. But that's just so dumb. This should be like a $10 game. You know what I mean? Like, I have a feeling if you get on, you're going to be like, slash who, everybody on the server, and it's going to be like 13 people.
Dude,
half
I don't,
of them are bots.
I don't know if I can run this game. It says you have to have 512 megabytes of RAM.
Oh my God, that throwback. 4 gigabytes of HDD. Oh my God.
This is great.
Oh, that's annoying that they do that.
Minimum.
So if I see it on sale, I'll let you know.
Internet connection, 56K. This is so
That's
good.
Funny.
Keyboard and mouse too.
Oh, okay, good.
I did get a mouse finally. I've always been using a keyboard up until this year. I got one for Christmas, and I didn't know
oh
what
my
I've
been. God, stop! You're upsetting me.
You should get one.
Should I give it a shot? You think?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we'll.
Okay. There's my New Year's resolutions: Legend of Mana, Wizardry, more card games, Star Control 2, and Intelligent Cube. We have current gaming subcast to do. We've got emails to do. I do want to do toy time.
Oh, what? Did you warn me about this?
No, because I forgot about it until I just saw.
Okay.
It
right I actually, it was funny. I was in the shower today and I thought of one off the cusp. So.
Oh, hell yeah. Was it a shower? Is it like a rubber ducky or something?
Oddly enough, it is made of some sort of rubber material. But no, it's not a rubber ducky. I'll show it to you when it's done.
Okay.
Right. I don't know if I've talked about this before. I gotta write down the toys I've talked about. But I actually still have this toy. I saw it at my parents' house. That's made me think of it. And then I was thinking about it again today, because it was a pretty dope toy. I'll show it to you when it's time.
Awesome. Let's do what order do we new? God, it's been so.
Let's see. We usually do emails, then we do
current gaming subcast,
and then we do our Toy Town talk.
All right, let's go to. I had our emails pulled up a second ago. Here we go. Nope, that's not it. Oh, here we go. Finally, I got it, Jay.
Excellent. It only took like 3 seconds.
It's from Chase the Night Cleaner.
Hello again, Chase.
Hey, Chase. What's up? He says, hello, gentlemen. Chase the Night Cleaner here. Checking in for what should be your first post-episode 200. What a trip, right? A lot of road traveled in those 3 episodes. And excuse me, Chase, that was 1 episode.
Yeah, that was 1 episode. Thank you.
And some of it got me thinking about my history with RPGs and just why some of the games you were discussing hit me as being so much more significant to me than they might be to either of you. The boring answer I came up with for this isn't novel or new, but simply that our lived experiences are subjective to each person, that so much of what actually makes a game important to us isn't just if it is objectively good or mechanically solid, resulting in fun intervals of play, but also exactly when in our life we encountered it and what actually was going on with us at the time. Yeah, very true.
And based.
I found it's also, hold on, I got a question. Remind me to ask you in a minute.
Oh God. Okay.
I found, I found, and I think I've asked you, anyway, we'll get to it. I've found it's also the same for any form of media or art, but music is a good parallel. Listening to a song I might have hated or not liked at one point of my life, I suddenly find reasons to love as I get older because now its lyrics pull on experiences I can relate to. The sound of it hits me with nostalgia, or I can unironically admit that, yeah, that pop song was a solid fucking jam, but I was afraid to say it at the time to me. At the time, because it was cooler to be counterculture.
Do you know that there's an actual, to my understanding, a documented time of like in your life, there's like a range of when you're a teenager that, I don't know what the exact range of age it is, but that helps to like determine what kind of music you're going to listen to is like based on the music that you listen to during that time.
It like forms your musical tastes for the rest of your life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, more or less. Like, it's like, you know, a lot of people like, so like my generation's music was the best or like whatever it is. I think that's partly where that's rooted from is essentially when you are between that range of, let's say it's like 12 to 18 or whatever it is, whatever music you're listening to during that time will help to form your taste in music.
Oh, okay. I would believe that. Yeah.
I feel like I knew that, but like I never confirmed it. You know what I mean? It's like an unspoken thing.
Dude, a group of me and a group of my friends from high school, we have this this like text group, and we like pretty much from November through about February, every day one of us would recommend a new album from the 90s to listen to. And we would all listen to it.
Oh, that's cool.
It was so much fun. We were listening to, you know, everything from Soundgarden to Live to REM to Nirvana.
If it's the 90s, I would be 100% on board. I like, obviously, that's when I was in that age range. So,
yeah.
Late 90s, early 2000s is most of the music that I listen to today.
It was lots of fun.
It's a solid time in music too. Like it's funny, you know, I listen to the radio. My truck's 2006, so I don't have like all the, you know, the new stuff to listen to. So I'll listen to the radio and it's like most of the time I'm like, I scroll through stations. I'm like new dog shit, pop music, garbage. And like, ooh, something from the 90s or like early 2000s. Like, all right, I can listen to this.
The one, not the best one, but the one that surprised me the most was Green Day Dookie. I'm sure you remember that album.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, damn, this is actually a really good, and I do not like punk music, but that album,
I like some of it,
was so good.
It's solid. Green Day as a whole is solid.
See, I didn't like pretty much anything else of theirs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just that one album I thought was great. Anyway, back to you know what? We never did Offspring. I need to.
Oh God! What a solid.
I need to hit up the group and bring that one back. Okay, let's see. Music. Sorry, Chase. I lost where we were. I've always got the memories, but sometimes those feelings fade. There are exceptions in media for this I can think of as well, but this email is already getting long. Also, sometimes we just love a thing our whole lives, warts and all. Which brings me to my question of the day: what is one game that you understand is objectively bad, but that you unapologetically love? Do you understand what it is about the game you like so much, or how you developed the feelings you do about it?
Ooh, that's tough. I know I have them.
I'm gonna have to do a rain check on this one and go look at all my games and see.
And like, but Kingdom Hearts qualify? Is that considered to be? Do a lot of people like Kingdom Hearts 1?
A lot of people like Kingdom Hearts, yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I know what one. Maybe not super bad. You know what? There are a few. There are a few that I can think of, actually. Stuff that I played when I was younger and was really bad, but that I love it just basically 100% for the nostalgia factor. And there are a few that come to mind. Fishing Derby on Atari 2600. It's an incredibly simplistic game where you're just a guy fishing on a dock and you lower the line and try to, like, you can see the fish in the water. You lower the line and catch a fish on it and try to pull it up without this shark eating them. That's all you do. The Goonies 2 for NES. Absolutely a terror. I won't get into it. You should watch the Angry Video Game Nerd. Yeah, Angry Video Game Nerd actually did a very recent episode on this one. And everything he talked about, he was like, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. It's so bad. But I played a lot of it because it was just one, you know, like when you're little, you have five games and you just play them all over and over, regardless of whether they're good. And also, I'd have to play this one again to confirm it was as bad as I remember. And maybe I will. Jaws for NES. Just very simplistic and kind of bullshit. Oh, sorry. One more. A Boy and His Blob.
It's not considered to be a bad game.
Also on NES. I think, I don't know if a lot of people consider it bad. I consider it bad, even though I played it a lot. There are a lot of things that I really like about it. I don't think it's a good game. I think a lot of it is way too random. And it's one of those where you got to do things that you would never just figure out. There's basically, you know, no way to figure out on your own. You know, maybe on that note, maybe even a couple of the Space Quest games as well, specifically 4 and 5.
Hmm.
I'd probably toss them in the mix as well. For the exact same reason. That was what I played when I was younger. There are a lot of cool things. A lot of these games, not all of them, but some of these games, in particular the Space Quest ones, they do have really cool things about them. Space Quest has great visuals. And it's got some really cool parts. It's got some good humor. But just the gameplay in general is really bullshit. So I didn't think I had an answer, but I've got like 10. So there are mine. Do you have any?
I don't. I'm like racking my brain right now, but I can't. I know I have them, and I'm going to be pissed because it's like I'm going to stop recording and be like, oh my God. But no, I don't have any off the cusp.
What about Final Fantasy Tactics?
Shut up. Some fucking masterpiece. You watch your mouth. I was thinking kind of Chocobo Dungeon. I imagine Chocobo Dungeon's looked at as like a really simple roguelite. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think. I could be wrong. I don't think people consider that bad. I think, like you said, they just consider it a little bit a little simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's what we got. Thanks, Chase. He says, cheers and talk against some Chase the Night Cleaner. Current gaming subcast. Like I said, I've been playing, at one point, I had been playing a lot of Forza Horizon 5.
And Balatro.
Oh, yeah, Balatro. That's okay. Yes, I got Balatro just about a week ago, something like that. And I've put in 24 hours.
Jesus.
I think, and that's with having a lot of things going on right now that I really don't need to have put that much time. I have beaten it a few times.
Good God.
If you want to, I'll stream it for you after we're done with this, so you can just kind
of
just for a second, just so you can kind of get a feel for it.
Only if you put your webcam on.
I think I am done with it for now, but it is one of those ones that like I'll definitely come back to. It's a really solid, like, I just want to play something. What do I play? Yeah, I'll just launch Balatro and play, and then I'll end up playing for an hour. You know, I really only meant to play for 15 minutes. Balatro is a newer game. I'll just describe it the way everybody else describes it. It's a deck builder that looks like poker, but it's definitely not poker. The only thing it has in common with poker is the cards you play. It is a deck of, you know, real cards. You do try to get the best hand based on traditional poker hands, but you are not betting money. You're getting points. And the points, you can like level up how much points you get. You can add weird modifiers to your card by opening booster packs. You can get permanent kind of really interesting buffs, such as every spade you play gets scored four times or something like that. Or that's kind of just a very basic example. They do get pretty creative with the kind of the boosts you can get during a playthrough. Anyway, this is a deck builder game that just looks like poker. I've been having lots of fun with it. Jay, have you been playing anything?
Unsurprisingly, I'm playing Slay again because they announced Slay 2. So I got excited and I was like, cool, it's not going to be a year until I can play it. So let me just start playing Slay again. So I've been playing Slay a decent amount. And then I got the itch to start doing honor mode runs in Divinity Original Sin 2, which essentially means if one of your character dies, they're dead for good. It is really fun. It is really exciting, but also extremely frustrating and depressing all at the same time, because when a character dies and you lose 10 to 20 hours worth of gameplay, it's pretty fucking frustrating. And I was telling
Man.
Robert before the podcast, it's one of those things where I get such a hard on before I start playing, because I'm like so excited, like, ooh, I want to try this build, I want to try this, like, this is cool. There's so much to this game. And what's so funny is when I started reading about it again, I like semi forgot and kind of knew in this game that there's like, I don't know, 16 different spells that you can find by merging other spells together that you generally just don't really acknowledge that they're there. So there's all this depth to more stuff that I didn't even know existed, partially. So it's been really fun. And every time I wipe, it's like so frustrating. I'm like, God damn it. Like, I just lost like 14 hours worth of time. It's like, oh, like, what am I? I'm done. Like, this is so frustrating. And then I sleep the next morning. I'm like, but what if I try to fire mage this time and hunter? And I'm like, oh, like, that sounds, what about a dwarf tank? And I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. Like, but who would be my healer? And I'm like, oh, this person. I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. And then I'm like, all
That
right. And then
sounds
I start
cool.
playing again, and I clear the first island and, record time in like 10 hours. I'm like, hell yeah. And then I get to the second act and I die to some dumb fight. And I'm like, motherfucker, like, God, I'm so pissed right now. And then I'm like, I'm not playing anymore. And then
No,
I
I'm
go to
not
bed and I
gonna.
wake up. And I'm like, what about a rogue though? Rogue sounds pretty cool. And
Yeah,
like,
what about
ooh,
that?
but like, I can minimize this, I can maximize this field. What if I made this person my fire mage this time? And I'm like, oh. And yeah, I'm playing right now. I'm so strong. And it's so fun because I have this combo on my fire mage right now where obviously Divinity is a CRPG and it's turn-based combat. And my fire mage, it's just so much fun because she comes into a fight and she like lights somebody on fire. And then she explodes the fire, which removes the fire from them, but it does like a shit ton of damage. And she like does all this damage. And then I have this ability that I can use basically once per fight, which just resets all of her cooldowns. So I can blow my load and then I reset all my cooldowns and I just do a second time. And I haven't found a mob in a while that can survive the combo. So she just comes in and immediately wipes somebody off the floor. And then she's just a turd for like 3 turns while she's, cooling down. But the dopamine you get from one-shotting people is pretty nice. So
That's awesome.
great game. More depth to the game that I never, yeah, it's just such a ridiculous game.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Divinity.
I'm glad you're going back to it and playing that more. This is fun to hear.
Yeah. I love Divinity. I could talk about Divinity for hours. I could talk about builds. And it's funny too, because my partner is playing. Every time I start playing it, they start playing it and they get really excited about it. And so they're playing right now, so we just bounce build ideas off of each other. And yeah. It's a lot of fun to talk about.
Did you
So,
know that this is your third favorite video RPG?
yeah, my God, yeah,
I didn't know that until a couple weeks
I
ago.
love this game very, very much, and I'm tempted to play the Steam version too because apparently there's more content on the Steam version. But I
Oh
just
gosh.
really like having the portability of the Switch.
Is
Yeah,
there
good
really more
pooping
co
game.
what is there really more
Yeah,
content on
there's like
Steam?
DLC or some shit that they released for the Steam version. I don't think it's on the Switch, but I could be wrong. Like, I think so.
You're just talking
I don't know. If
about
anybody knows, tell me.
you're just thinking of the nude character mods.
Ooh, big nude character mod guy. No, absolutely not. The
No.
graphics in that game are abysmal. I mean, not abysmal. I mean, they're not great. That's not something I want to say.
You're really talking shit about this game.
Oh, don't you dare. Well, I mean, you know me. Graphics, like, what do I care?
We do have one more thing to talk about.
Sure.
Dragon Ball Detour.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, you're on Dragon Ball Z
Oh,
now.
I'm on to Dragon Ball Z.
Woo-woo! So how far in are you?
I just finished Volume 2. So,
Kakarot?
Kakarot.
Yep.
I remembered from watching an episode or two. I remember I was watching it one time again, years ago when I had no point of reference. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, why does this guy keep calling him Kakarot?
Yeah.
Now I know.
Are you do you watch it English subs
I do
or
not watch it.
English? You don't watch it at all. Okay, not
No.
yet. You will.
Yeah, I will. I
You will.
definitely will. Right now we don't even have we just I was telling Jay earlier we moved back into our
Oh
house.
yeah.
We don't even have we will we do now. We just got TVs put up. So I haven't been watching much of anything. But obviously I could like stream it or whatever, but when I do watch it I really want to watch it with my daughter 'cause I think she would have fun watching it too. So I haven't even tried yet, because I want to wait until she can watch it with me. But first off, I would like to just say Dragon Ball, the whole final arc just was awesome. I loved it.
Oh yeah.
And then Dragon Ball Z, we might have talked about this. Actually, I feel like maybe we have talked about this on the podcast. I'm not sure. But anyway, starts off, and I'm like, holy crap, this is already, like, it starts off really strong.
How does it start? I honestly don't remember.
It starts with...
is it Raditz coming in with...
Yes. That's okay, exactly so what Raditz it starts ending. With. Raditz comes in, and he kidnaps... And he kidnaps
Gohan. Oh, yeah, Gohan.
Yeah. And so, really... kind of strong start, and then Goku gets killed. Spoiler alert.
He gets killed?
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah, and then he goes and meets King Kai, that's right.
Is that the guy's name?
The big bug guy that has his own planet and his dope-ass car.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
His car's so dope.
It didn't really focus much on his car yet. It just basically showed it, but it was maybe in two panels. Like, they haven't... Do they do something with this car?
No, not that I can think. I think he maybe drives around the planet a little bit, but his planet's so tiny. Like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, he says, like, his new hobby is driving his car or something like that. And it's like, the planet is probably 100 feet in circumference.
Yeah.
He's got one little, like, rock pathway that goes in a circle around it that he can drive it on.
So Goku's married to Chi-Chi.
Yes, right? Goku is married to Chi-Chi.
Did that surprise you?
It did, yeah. Okay. But it surprised me, but also when it happened, it was like, well, that's perfect.
What do you think? Has she done much yet? Like, do you feel like it's a good translation from Dragon Ball to Dragon Ball Z in terms of her character?
If I remember, she hasn't done much.
Okay. She does more as the show goes on.
I figured
she's not like a crazy character, but like, she has her moments.
She did quite a bit when it first introduced her in Dragon Ball. But that was like way back, and that's kind of the whole point, because you're like, wait, who? I don't remember who's this supposed to be. You know, and she comes back eventually. It's kind of a thing, like nobody remembers her, but then you're like, oh, I kind of remember her. She was pretty cool for like the five pages she was on, you know, 10 volumes ago. But so yeah, she hasn't done a lot, but she has been on, she's been pretty cool.
Talk to me about Piccolo.
Piccolo is just finished training Gohan.
Oh yeah.
Piccolo's I feel like he's still technically a bad guy. Obviously, right now he's working with Gohan and everybody. He's one of the boys, and you know, I know how that turns out. He's still pretty badass.
Oh yeah, I love him, dude. His ability is so cool.
I think he's very cool.
I love Piccolo so much.
Vegeta and Pan, is that the other guy's name?
Oh, the bald guy. What do they call him in the fucking anime? They call him, he's the over 3,000, over 9,000 guy. Like, it's literally the meme.
Oh, is he the one who's over 9,000, isn't it?
He's over 9,000. Yeah, that's him. That's literally that guy.
I think his name is Pan. Hold on, I'm looking at it.
DBZ?
No, that's not him.
Over 9,000.
Pan is a little kid. Where did I come up with that? Vegeta's brother? No, not brother, because brother is... I'm typing to Vegeta. Oh, it's Nappa. That's right.
Nappa.
That's right. Is he the one that says over 9,000?
Yep.
That's funny. Yep. Okay, well, I haven't gotten to the...
Him or Vegeta. I'm pretty sure it's him, but I could be wrong.
I haven't gotten to over 9,000 yet.
Oh, yeah, that's like... That's decently far in.
Okay, I assumed it was. But yeah, so they just got to Earth. And they just spawned all these little alien guys.
The Cybermen?
What are they?
The little seedlings. They like plant them in the ground.
Yes. What do they call it on that one?
Cybermen.
Cybomen?
Cyber. I think it's like cyber, but just with an A at the end. So it's just Cybermen.
What are they? Okay. Yes. That's what they are. What are they called? Oh, okay. In the manga, they're called cultivars.
Oh, that's way cooler.
Is it?
I think so. When I hear this is going to be a SpongeBob reference. In SpongeBob, there's a scene where a guy goes, yeah, for the firemen. Anytime I hear the Cybermen, I think of that. Like, yeah, for the Cybermen. That's all I think of whenever I hear that shit. And they're also very short-lived, so it's like, you know.
Yeah, they last maybe
they're two, just minions.
Maybe two issues, maybe even just one. But yeah, and then they they kill those guys, and you know, of course, Vegeta and Nappa are like, well, you know, they're only one trillionth of our power.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, like 100%. That type of situation. I love that shit. But they still beat the shit out of Krillin and Tien and Shaotzu's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So anyway, that's pretty much where I am right now. They just beat those guys, and they're pretty much going to have to fight Vegeta and Nappa.
You're
now.
Still in the you're in the early stages of the first arc. There's so much going on there.
I was about to say, like, I have a feeling this fight's going to be going on for a while, just because I know the nature of Dragon Ball Z fights. They typically last a long time. And from what I've seen, from what little I've seen.
That's I think that's a decent assumption. Which, by the way, you want to do something really fun in the podcast that we've probably never done before?
What's that?
You want to pivot back to me talking about a game that I played that was a Dragon Ball Z game for a second?
Yes.
Really just throw everybody for a loop. So I forgot that I played another game for this episode of the podcast.
Oh, no!
It was very short-lived. So you remember I was telling you there was a Game Boy game that I was like, the Dragon Ball Legacy of Goku 2. That I was
you should
try it. Like, don't. I oversold that game. I will openly admit that. I tried playing it again. It is rough. The controls are really janky and they don't respond well. The overall mechanics of the game are really kind of dumb. It is just like and the combat is extremely frustrating. So I spent like 3 or 4 hours playing this recently. I got decently far into it. I am further than you are in the show or the manga after playing for like 3 or 4 hours when I stopped playing.
Wow, really? So,
yep.
Okay.
And it was not good. So I apologize. Don't play that game.
It's called Legend of Goku?
Legacy of Goku 2. It's like Dragon Ball Z Legacy of Goku 2.
Dragon Ball Z Legacy of Goku 2.
Yeah. Don't do it. It wasn't worth it. Okay. I tried. It was not good. It was really frustrating. I died a lot. I died to stupid shit. And yeah.
There's supposed to be a, I think, Game Boy Advance game based on Dragon Ball that's supposed to be really good.
Let me know. I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if I played this on a Game Boy, I would probably enjoy this a little bit more. But it's still kind of rough. I think I actually have a copy too. So if you do want to try it, I think I have it for Game Boy Advanced. So if you do want to try it at some point, the physical copy, I can mail it to you.
Okay.
So
yeah. Hell yeah. Awesome.
Spot game. Bonus game. Bonus track.
Bonus game. Okay. So now we've got our
Toy Town Talk.
Toy Talk. Toy Time.
Toy Town Talk.
Toy Time Talk. But before we get there, in case you don't care to listen to that, thank you for listening. Leave us reviews on iTunes. Tell all your friends to listen to us. Send us mail@classicgamingpodcast.com. Once again, our next episode, we will be talking about GTA San Andreas. So please feel free to write in your thoughts on that game if you want to. And
thank you, Robert, by the way.
Thank you, Jay. Also.
Wow.
That's it. Unless you want to stick around for Toy Time Talk. So if not, we'll see you guys in 3 weeks.
The name is just evolving.
Yeah. Okay, Jay, we're here for Toy Time Talk. Real quick, I want to ask you something.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you want to ask me a question, by the way.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. I think I've asked you this before, but I don't remember. But I don't remember what the answer was.
I don't dye my hair.
Okay. What is this thing? Oh, okay, this is what you're going to talk about.
That's my toy. I'll talk about it in a second. Sorry, I thought we were going.
What does based mean? I've never...
how do I describe this? So... like having a nuanced take on something. I say it ironically a lot. Like most of the time when I say
take on something, it's like, oh, that's a unique point of view. Is that what that means?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like I respect your take on that. Like if you said like,
okay,
I liked I like chocolate chip cookies that have a crunchy outside and a softer inside. I'd be like, based. Like, I agree with that. Like, I think that's a good take.
Like, I respect that. Take. Is that kind of...
Yeah. That's my understanding of it. I am also 35, so I may be misinterpreting it because it's definitely a very young term, but I say it a lot. I really like that term. It's a great thing to respond with when I don't know what else to say. So if somebody's like, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, based. And like, I just keep moving. You know what okay. I mean? Like, it's one of those situations where I don't know exactly what to say, but, you know.
Gotcha. Another quick question. This one sure. is just a different type of question. I haven't been watching any of, did you watch UFC 300?
Dude, I was just going to ask you about that. Did you see the knockout?
I haven't watched the video of it yet. I saw a screen. God, I saw like a photograph of it. And I was like,
let's watch this real quick together.
Okay. I'm so glad that I love Max Holloway. I'm glad he won. Nothing against Justin Gaethje. I like him too, but I love Max Holloway.
So let me set the stage here. It is round 5. Max is assumed...
Oh, is the 5th round?
Oh yeah, they went to champ rounds.
Oh shit.
So let me set the stage here. We're in round 5. Max was assumedly up 4 rounds to 0.
So he was just piecing them up?
Yep. Okay. This is round 5 with not much time left. Okay?
Okay.
What would most fighters do here? They would just play it safe and, you know, not fuck with it, right? Because they basically win no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Not Max. This is what Max does. He tells him, let's stand and bang, as he always does. And he knocks him out. I know, that overhand right was crazy. Yep. People were saying, like, he should get the BMF belt. 100% for that.
Okay.
Like, that, you have to have the biggest nutsack to do something like that.
Dude, my favorite thing that I've seen so far, I just saw this a minute ago. It says, oh God, hold on. Where... I can't find it. It was a camera pans to a terrifying. I don't know how to pronounce this guy.
Oh yeah, the guy who's next.
Max called him out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's so funny too because I'm sure that's not like, you know, how he actually felt in the moment. But dude, if I was that guy, I'd be like, what? I'm not getting in the cage with that guy. Like 25 minutes of high intensity MMA from Max Holloway. Yeah, no, thank you.
So just for the people listening. Max called this guy out after, you know, in the post-fight interview. And then, like, this happens every time anybody wins a fight, basically. And then the camera points to that guy who's typically in the crowd, whoever the person called out. In this case, as usual, the guy was in the crowd. And they're always like, yeah, I'm ready, you know, and, like, doing something with their fist. This time it panned to this guy, and he looks legitimately scared shitless.
Yeah. It's a great meme.
He won't even look at the camera.
I would either. Dude, if I saw that shit, like, that dude's all in. Like, Mac, I'm sorry to say this, but Matt, you know, Max is probably going to lose his brain in 10 years after retirement.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Does, but I respect what he did. I mean, that is such a savage thing to do. Did you see the shit with Ronda coming back talking shit years later after?
This is all recently, I've seen so far, no.
She, like, started running her mouth recently about her career in MMA, and it's just like, bro, like, just
come
stop.
On, yeah.
You're a superstar in WWE. Like, just...
Yeah, just keep... Just go enjoy the money. Just do what you're... Yeah, do what works for you.
Such cringe. Such cringe shit.
Okay. That was great.
Yep. All right, my toy. So, this is from Spawn. If anybody's seen the movie Spawn... the clown in the movie transforms into a creature called the Violator, which is a great name, by the way. And so it turns into this crazy-ass monster in the movie. Also in the comic books, too, if anybody read the comic books back in the day. So I have this action figure. This action figure is dope. It has a couple really cool mechanics about it. So it's made out of this, like, very pliable rubber. But you'll notice in the picture I sent you, his arms are kind of like in a really unique fixed position where you would think if it's made out of like pliable rubber, how would it stay in a specific position? There's like this really thick wiring that runs through the whole action figure that allows you to mold it into specific forms and it will generally stay in that form. So it's a really dope toy because you can position it a lot of different ways. It's extremely durable. I've had this thing for 15 years. This thing has like gone in the pool with me many times. This has like been thrown around a lot. Like, this is an action figure that has gone through it. Also, I don't have the jaw anymore on mine, but because the jaw actually moves, there's a control in the back of it that you can lift or lower that will raise or lower the jaw. If I remember correctly, again, I don't have the jaw anymore, so I don't have this mechanic, but there's some sort of mechanic where you can like raise and lower some sort of lever on the back of it that will open and lower the jaw of it, which is just a nice little additional feature to it. And really, I mean, it's a pretty cool looking toy. Like it, as a kid, I was kind of scared of this thing, to be honest.
It
Just
is kind of scary.
yeah. So this was a dope toy. Also, it's based off, I watched the Spawn movie in theaters with my dad when I was a kid. And I really liked the clown character. I had a clown action figure too from, I don't know his actual name in the movie or in the series, but I just know his transformed for version was called the Violator, which is just ridiculous. But
Nice.
yeah.
That's a good one. Okay,
What
the
you got?
Violator. Okay, I have a Mad Lib book.
Oh man, we used to do those all the time when I was a kid.
Okay,
I still have some of mine.
this is a special one. I got this from my friend Burger Champ recently. So
Ooh.
over on the Polykill Discord, we did a holiday gift. We did a Secret Santa right before Christmas, and he ended up getting me as his. He ended up being my Secret Santa, and he said. Basically, I was the easiest person to find stuff for that he's ever had to do, because
Makes, I
he,
feel like you would like most things, honestly.
well, I like most things, and everybody knows the things that I like. You know, it's not like what do I get for this guy? He got me this. He got me this and like some Ninja Turtle stuff. So he knocked it out of the park. So let's. I would like to do one of these Mad Libs with you. This is
Oh, God.
right now.
You're about to learn how bad my English is. I didn't want you to ever know this, so I apologize ahead of time. An adverb. Oh, shit.
Let's do should we do Monster Babies or Godzilla the movie star
I like the first one more. I like Monster Baby over Godzilla.
or Godzilla's weaknesses, Mothra's theme song, or a character study of Godzilla?
Let's definitely do the first one. I'm not a
Monster
Godzilla person.
Babies.
Yep.
Okay, let me. There's one called "This Cake Is Out of This World." There's Godzilla's power. There's a bunch in here. I lost Monster Babies. Give me just a second to.
Unbelievable. You don't come prepared.
The fuck is this? It's just gone.
Okay.
I just made that one up evidently because it doesn't exist
You just pick one at
anymore.
random then. Fine, either way.
Hold on,
I will make fun of you.
now I want to find Monster Babies. Okay, if I can't find it in like 2 seconds, I'll just pick a different one.
Okay.
Key to defeating Godzilla Monster. I can't find any of the ones that I just listed. What the hell is going on?
I don't trust you.
Here we go. Kaiju Monster Babies. Okay, Jay. I need a plural. Sorry, but I need a plural noun. Person, place, or thing. Plural.
Let's do it. Chairs.
Okay. I need an adjective, a describing word.
Let's do itchy.
Okay. Oh shit. I just tried sharpening my pencil. I got shavings all over the place.
You have a pencil.
Yeah, I
A
got pencils.
fucking pencil.
A type of food, plural.
Let's do. Let's do shrimps. Wait, is that? Yeah. Wait, is shrimp plural? Three shrimp.
Usually, usually,
Eh.
usually shrimp is plural on its own, but we can say shrimps.
No, let's just do shrimp then.
Okay. A verb ending in ing.
Oh my God. Let's
Let's try to
do.
keep this family friendly, please.
All right, fine. We'll do. Stomping.
Okay. A noun.
Let's do Band-Aid.
I feel like that's gonna be a solid one. A plural noun.
Let's do cacti.
This is the only Mad Lib I've ever done that hasn't degraded into
Butts and booze
but
and
yeah, butts,
farts.
yeah.
Some of mine were as a kid. I still have some of mine.
That's great.
They're awful.
Okay.
It's like the butt talked really loud as it farted. And like, that's all mine are.
You guys were probably rolling on the ground laughing.
No, we were. We were.
A type of container.
Type of container? Like meaning like Tupperware or like wash basket or something? Let's do a cardboard box. Would that count as a container?
I like that. That's a good Metal Gear Solid reference.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Snake!
An exclamation. So, in other words, like, wow, or yay, or gadzooks.
Okay, let's just do gadzooks. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to beat gadzooks.
Okay. A noun?
Let's do toenail.
Part of the body, plural.
Oh, well, I just wasted that one.
I know.
Plural. Let's do gluteus maximus. Wait, plural.
How about just
maximi? Gluteus maximi?
We just go with glutes.
All right, there you go.
An animal.
Let's do an otter.
A noun. About five more after this one.
Picture frame.
Solid. Adverb.
What is an adverb?
It's like an adjective, but it describes the way you do something. It describes a verb. So, okay. Like, quietly.
Let's do... Let's do sneakily. Okay. Would that work? Sneakily?
Yep. Adjective.
Adjective. Purple. Wait, would that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
A part, you know what I just realized? This would have been a great, I just was like thinking that this is kind of funny because I was an English major and I taught English for a while. These would be great teaching like things to,
yeah,
to
give Hunter the class that, to actually. You. Hunter is literally an English teacher.
Yeah. Okay.
I should tell him about that actually.
Tell him about that. All right. Part of the body, plural.
Let's do calves.
Nice.
I'm looking at my calves while I said that.
you're looking at calves, or you just look at
calves? I'm looking at my calves. I have my leg on my desk right now.
You didn't just like, you're not just Googling calves at the moment. You're like, oh, I'll
Google this. No, I have that bookmarked. I don't have to Google it.
Plural noun.
Plural noun. Let's do truck tires.
These are good. An occupation, plural. I think this is, so I'm kind of looking, I'm not looking at most of these sentences, but that one kind of confused me, so I am. It looks like by this it means not necessarily the occupation itself, but the name of, but like the people who do a specific type of occupation. Like for instance, mailmen, you know, that type of thing.
How would you do with optometrist?
I would just do that, yeah.
Okay.
And then finally, a plural noun.
Last one. Chopsticks.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
This is Kaiju monster babies.
Yep.
Kaiju can be moms and chairs too. Meet some of the most itchy kaiju offspring. Mothra larva. These twin siblings hatched from a nest of Mothra's shrimp. In one film,
actually kind of works.
Yeah, sort of. In one film, Mothra dies while stomping her babies from a
Jesus.
Damn. From a Godzilla attack. To avenge their mother's Band-Aid, the larva join cacti to trap Godzilla in a silken cardboard box.
All of that makes sense from my perspective.
Manila. Gadzooks. What's more adorable than a toenail-sized Godzilla? The iconic kaiju's...
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Kind of, yeah. The iconic kaiju's infant son has large glutes and a snout like an otter. It's just as cute as a picture frame. Dorats. I don't know what Dorats are. Hold on, I want to look up Dorats real quick. Godzilla Dorats. I don't. Oh damn. Okay, these are like, I don't even remember what these are from. They're like crazy ass looking bats. Dorats. They may not sneakily be kaiju babies, but together they make the purple. Oh no, sorry. Oh, but sorry. Yeah. But together, sorry. Together they make the purple pre-evolved form of King Ghidorah. Who would have thought those three fearsome calves were once chubby dragon-like truck tires? Probably not the optometrists who exposed them to questionable chopsticks.
Nice.
The end.
Some of that made sense.
Some of it worked out.
Butts and boobs.
Mothra stomping her babies to death after Godzilla attack was pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that was a little rough. Sorry. Yeah. A little offensive.
Okay. Thank you once again, Burger Champ. This was a great... This is like an awesome gift. I think I may have told you. He got me a few things. One of them was a Ninja Turtles handheld, kind of like a Tiger Electronics thing, but it was made by Konami. Yeah. And it was Ninja Turtles basketball.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's you versus, I think you're Leonardo, and it's you playing basketball, just one versus Shredder and Bebop and Rocksteady and the fly version of Baxter Stockman.
I love Baxter.
He's a great character.
Yes.
If you want to hear more about Baxter Stockman, you can listen to Cool But Rude.
Nice. Second plug.
Yeah. Okay, Jay, I think that's it. I think we're done now.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for doing a Godzilla Mad Lib with me.
No, no worries.
And we will be back in probably, maybe actually about 3 weeks this time.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right, see you guys later. Thanks for listening.